Welcome to the French Connections Monday night edition. Today's date is the 4th day of May 2009. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to have you all here with me for another most important broadcast. Great things are happening in the world, ladies and gentlemen. There is a cascading effect happening in the world. Information is being passed from one person to another. We are bypassing the criminal networks. Information system and going out on our own, and people are telling each other about chemtrails, they're telling each other about FEMA camps, they're telling each other about criminal politicians and Zog, the Zionist occupied government that we have, and this flu virus hoax and how it purports to be a precursor, in my view, to a martial law declaration by these criminals because they're feeling the pressure of the truth. And, and even people of a political ilk have begun to speak out. And that brings me to my guest here on this Monday evening, and his name is Ogner, or if you hear me refer to him as Noel, that is somebody I've known for quite some time, and I'm going to bring him up right now. Noel, are you with me?
Hi, Don. Yeah, I'm with you.
It's great to have you back, Noel. We do a lot of these short notice kind of files here because it's good to keep people updated on what's happening around the world here. I'm going to go into the interview you had in a couple of minutes, but one of the things I'm seeing here is that people have finally come down in their expectations and started to realize that we're not going to see a fix for this problem, financial problem. We're not going to see any change. In fact, what they're beginning to expect is what we've told them all along, that things are slated to get much worse. Are you seeing a change in Geneva and in Switzerland's emotional connection to the economy? I mean, a few months back you reported that they seem to be going on as business as usual. Has that sentiment changed?
Darren, talking to some people over the weekend, there's nothing in Switzerland. It's not obvious. There's no subprime here, Daryl. So people have a place, to live. There hasn't been any big speculation. Now, condominium and house prices, say if you live around Lake Geneva, are worth, where Cheney lives, worth a couple of million. But there's a shortage of property here, and there's people get 99-year leases, so there's no subprime. So all of a sudden, you don't have this. However, we are bracing ourselves in Geneva for our biggest company, which is UBS, Union Bank of Switzerland, to fire 1,000 people. Now, it was reported with their quarterly results. Now, we haven't seen them, but what I'm hearing, Daryl, from people who work in private banks is that they're letting go of people, in departments two and three at a time on a weekly basis. No big running for the door, no big panic going on. So, no, I don't see any panic here in Switzerland. However, I'm involved in lots of other countries. That's where I'm seeing it. But, we could get into Switzerland and it might be sort of a marginal sort of a case along with some other countries that weren't as highly strung up on credit. But saying that, Darrell, the Swiss government are using quantitative easing, but there's no panic here, Darrell, if you know what I mean.
The interesting thing is, Geneva, for people who don't know, is right on the border with France, and the French market for real estate, Haute-Savoie and the region around Lausanne and the rest have been off the hook crazy. I mean, we're talking about two bedroom cottage type houses going for $500,000 to $600,000 at one point. Yeah. And my point is that market's probably dried up in large measure. And
well, Darrell, it didn't dry up; it collapsed in Haute-Savoie and in Lens, which is the two bordering communities in France on Geneva. The housing market has collapsed. The prices have collapsed. Yes.
Yep, I can tell you personally in my region, housing prices have collapsed, but we've also seen record run-ups in unemployment records. I mean, month-on-month changes in the unemployment figures and people filing for first-time claims have broached places that have never been hit before in France. And so this is really a telling sign for what's coming. And, but people are starting to figure out that things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. And this is the hunker down period. Now, I'm wondering if you are anticipating a season of discontent, a summer of discontent. I'm speculating that the French public is going to start rioting soon as these things really start to bite.
Well, you know, there's a question, Darrell, about rioting. But will it be reported? You know, the French, protest all the time. It's depending on the protest what the Zionist media will actually put into circulation around the world is what people know about. Now, there's a story last week, Darrell. I'd like to just mention it. There was a gang of 29 people last week. Now, I heard this on the BBC, the World Broadcast, which is apparently owned by BBC local radio and Swiss International Radio, the station that I was listening to. And they said there was a gang of 29 people in Paris, Arabs, Arabs is what I understood the story. This is, me waking up at 6 in the morning. They had kidnapped a young Jewish guy, Salat, and forgive me if I got the name wrong. And they held him and tortured him for 3 weeks and then killed him. Absolutely shocking, shocking story. Now, I knew this would be a big story, but I didn't have too much, background on it. But I did find out a bit more. Now, I'm trying to think of the name of this gang. It was the kind of a black Arabi looking guy, and the horrible photos they show on TV. And
yep.
The guy said he did it, and then he said he didn't do it. Now, the case, obviously, with 29 people is still going on. I haven't heard any more in 2 or 3 days. But what was interesting was what the TV were making out that eight of the 29 were young girls. And I said, okay, eight of them were young girls. And one of them actually got chatting to this Jewish guy and got him to go to some apartment. He arrived at some apartment and got beat up and kidnapped and brutalized and murdered, which is absolutely insane. And the way the Zionist media put it out was this gang were against Jews, all against.
Well, they report it. I read about the report. It said they chose him because he's Jewish, and they automatically assumed he was rich.
Well, yeah, Darren, that's pretty much what I heard. But when you dig into it a little bit, this young Jewish guy, I forgot his name, and he's dead. They went after him because he was a businessman. Now, if you were going to kidnap somebody, what would be the point in kidnapping you or me, Darrell? You wouldn't get a lot of money for it. But so
no, they'd get a lot of debts, and they'd have a heavy guy to carry around with them,
But what was interesting on it was on another TV clip on French TV. I seen some guy with his face mask, a businessman, not a non-Jewish guy, was nearly picked up in the same way the previous week. Yet the international story is a Muslim gang goes after Jews in Paris. And, when you look a little bit into it, it's not exactly that way. The poor guy died and, he was brutalized and, that I'm absolutely against. But the Zionist media spinned it as, Arabs in France are going after, Jews. And that's exactly the spin that we're getting all around the world. Now, as I said, people can look into it. You have internet. If you speak a bit of French, it's probably, you can go on and check out some of the alternative media in France, which is buzzing. But the story wasn't. They gave you some of the facts. The guy was Jewish, and they murdered him, which is wrong. But that wasn't the story. He was a businessman, because this guy was calling his parents, said, "Listen, give me the money, give me the money." And whatever happened, and they beat this guy up. I don't know what sort of sickos these people are, or what the story was. But that the story was spinned as that.
Well, one of the things that's happening here is the most recent stuff that's been coming out about trying to link the word Zionism with anti-Semitism. And, of course, you and I both know that Zionism is a political movement. That in fact, the largest number of Zionists in the world aren't even Jewish. You can point to the once people said it was a 40 million Christian community that supported Zionism, I dare say it's much lower now. But still, that would be more than every Jew in the world if it were even at 30 million or even 25 million. So the point I'm trying to make here is I'm not, and you're not, equating Zionism to Judaism as 100% fact. But the French are trying to make it on their TV sets. Now, TF1 and even the French public television have tried to make the link that anybody complaining about Zionism is actually a Jew hater. And they've done this in the light of this Diadote political party that's coming out. And now they're actually debating whether he even has a right to have a political party, which is absolutely beyond the pale, if you'll allow that expression. So what's your take on Diadote? And I've had a take on him before, thinking that the Zionist press was going to use him as the poster boy for hate. Now, I don't think that Diadote himself is working with them, as far as I know. But isn't, you take a look at his face, isn't he a perfect poster boy for them to point to and say, look how awful these people are, you know?
Well, you know, Daryl, if you look at their media, when I was doing the last week's interview, I looked at my guest on one of these pro-Israeli blogs, and they'd photoshopped her face and made her look blacker and look like, you know, a typical criminal photo that they keep releasing. Dieudonné, he's starting the Parti Anti-Zioniste, Anti-Zionist Party in France, probably the first in the world. And, you know, I support him. Daryl,
yeah, me too.
We're not fighting. I know some idiot today called me a right-wing extremist, and, you know, and he called you a fascist. Completely, you know, that guy is just making up off the top of his head. The biggest problem we have now is how we get rid of not all the governments, but most of the criminals in Washington. That's for sure. We've had it confirmed. 99% undergo their little initiation, whether it's written or oral or by deed, prior to becoming a part of the Beltway elite. And if the more you suck up, the further you're going to go.
Well, that's right. And now let's go back to that blog that guy put up, you know, because it's interesting that when we talked about it privately earlier, you mentioned that not one time in the entire article that he put up did he mention a single issue. There was no issue-based trashing. It was all character assassination. It was all guilt by association. Of course, they've tried to lump you and me in with ProThink, which we don't work with those people. In fact, we disavow this nonsense that they've been doing, and the Martinson people and the rest of it. But of course, I knew from the beginning, as you did, Noel, that they were going to try to link us with the most radical elements within this nonsense. And I think many of those radical elements are government-sponsored operators. Why? So that they can do exactly what they've just done in the French, in this particular, not French press, in this particular blog, was to soil our reputation with that of the others. And, and then to go on and call me a fascist, it belies the definition of fascism. I mean, fascism is a joining between criminal capitalists or oligarchs and the government. What does that have to do with what I'm talking about? And you being right wing, come on, right wing. Let's define terms here, Noel. I mean, it's nonsense. Yet they get a lot of traction by the trashing process. You see, and you know you've got them on the run though when they won't touch any of the issues. So,
Well, you know, he can look back at my archives all he likes, and I said he also won't take into consideration a certain genocide of the Palestinian people that went on for 22 days. And I did several audios, Darrell, and I won't take a single word back that I said during the 22 days. I probably did about four or five audios. We probably did one, Darrell, and I did lose it. We lost 1,400 people for it, and I was a little bit, a little bit peed off, and I made some shows, and I stick by my words. Israel is a terrorist state. We're never going to have a two-state solution. These people are insane, and they have their bloggers, and you know, they already have the TV and the porn industry and the banks, and you know, let the guy add, he can add on some more stuff about what I said or I didn't say. This guy's a nobody who paid absolutely no attention. I'd rather get back to Jude Donay, Darrell, for a second. My reading of the guy, you know, I speak a little bit about, I speak French, and I've seen some of this guy's videos. I've seen his press briefing when he officially opened up his new anti-Zionist party, Parti Anti-Sioniste, for Europe, and they're asked what their what are they running for? You know, what are their policies? And
they were kind of weak on that. If you remember, I think you even mentioned it to me that you thought their policy ideas were very weak, but they had one. Yeah.
Well, that's not a question of being weak, Darrell. There isn't a policy, and that's what the beauty of it was. There was no policy. They said if they could get, you know, make a mark, Darrell, because we never know where we are, Darrell. We're terrible small in the whole scale of the mainstream media. If we knew we were 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8%, the numbers were growing, that would really get these people frightened. So it'll be interesting for Jude Donay if he can get a percentage of the vote on no policy. The policy is anti-Zionism. The policy isn't Jew hatred or holocausting Jews or murdering Jews or blowing up Israel or anything. The policy is a political movement against political Zionism, Darrell. And that's
exactly
what's going on. And he said, what do you mean, what do we stand for? If you have to ask the question, that's what it means. So people that in France, that are fairly well educated, Darrell, in some areas on Zionism, they also have a big Muslim population that would be very skeptical of the sort of treatment that they get in France and in other countries. I mean, there is a base there, and as you see in the United States, now they're describing, because I was talking to a couple of the guys today, Darren, I said, what, that idiot, a right-wing extremist, me? I said, you have the Israeli foreign minister, he's about 16 miles to the right of me. I mean, this guy is insane, and this blog nut job calls me an extremist, you know. But some guy said to me, he said, Noel, they've redefined people that question the Constitution, people that question how politics is run. Now, not Darrell, the politicians, how politics is governed and run. There's new definitions of...
Because they can proffer all of the definitions that make it into the in wide circulation, so they get to redefine anything. And part of that is that the old idea of political correctness, and that's the reason why people are afraid to speak about Zionism, because in mixed company, it's seen as bad taste.
I'd like to give give our little Zion bankers friends out there a little bit of warning. A lot of people are going to get very, very upset. A lot of people are upset with this rising unemployment. Now, Darrell, I know we're going to get into the financial. Now, if you read some of the financial blogs and news websites, the Yahoos and Bloombergs and whatever, and you read between the lines, you have places like Yahoo and Google to take the headlines, to take, you know, stories they want out. So when you go to Google News or Yahoo News, they'll have, you know, the top five stories from Bloomberg, and you go and read them and say, oh, you know, the economy is recovering. Oh, housing sales up an extra 3.2% from month on month. That's amazing. Oh, the economy is... And then, Daryl, you go to the source, whether it be Bloomberg, Associated Press, it doesn't make any difference. And then you read the other stories that they're reporting on. Salaries, wages are going down in the UK, they're going down in Ireland massively. In the US, the salaries are going down. So people are going to feel that in their pocket. And if they do a little bit of research, they'll find out, you know, their wages are going down because they're not part of the banking fraternity, which is exclusively a Zionist club. They have their Zionist politicians out there. They have their Zionist bloggers out there. Their Zionist lobbyists out there. So it's an umbrella kind of effect that is out there running to make things look to everything as, you know, as great. Now, in the last 10 days, and I told you, Daryl, personally, 10 days ago, I didn't buy into this Mexican flu, or, you know, I said the Israelis probably won't like the name, and, you know, 2 days later, the Israelis were, oh, no, we don't like the swine flu, and now even Alex Jones made a broadcast Saturday night, you know, Mayday, Mayday, Saturday night breaking news, emergency broadcast, or whatever it was, the swine flu is a hoax. Now, although, you know, Daryl, we've spoken about it, what's more probably to be learned from it, Daryl, was it got the attention of the banking of the stress tests away from the bankers. But what we did learn from it is, Daryl, we have vitamin D.
That's right. And we're going to be talking about that. Now, vitamin D, well, is only new research in the last 8 or 9 years, Noel. And it's a shocker of what this regulates in the body. It is amazing that almost every function of your immune system is subservient to vitamin D. And upwards in the northern hemispheres where we live and where your family lives in Ireland and where my family lives in Massachusetts, are 85 to 90% of the public is deficient. So basically they're running on a weakened immune system. They're being poisoned by pesticides. They're being poisoned by chemtrails. They're being poisoned by terrible amounts of stress. Their bodies are being taxed by bad diets, and these people are under the gun. And the fact of the matter is, without a supplement of vitamin D, which we're going to talk about the science of that in future shows on the French Connection, but I got to tell you something. If you've got access to vitamin D in the natural hormone form, you better stockpile that stuff and get ready for it. But, you know, the flu virus that you were talking about is important to bring up here, because what we don't know is how they're going to use this. What we can see is that this was some sort of beta test. They were testing their ability to pass laws and push people around and get people hyper panicked and the rest of it. Do they have a bioweapon future in our future? Is that what they've got coming for us? Or do they even need to? Can they even just make martial law just by hype? It looked to me like, 19 people died. No, there are probably more people died today falling off ladders than this whole stupid Zio swine laboratory flu that went around. So my point is they were able to actually get the entire world in a complete panic over 19 deaths.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But what does that tell you about the people that are supposed to be your fellow citizens from your country? I mean, how badly informed are we, Noel? I mean, unbelievable. What do you think?
Daryl, the normal flu cycle that we've had, you know, we've had for hundreds and hundreds of years, in recent years, killed anywhere between 300,000 and 500,000. Why weren't we talking about stress tests, Daryl? Daryl, I told you privately, I went into an office the other day and a guy had a mask on. He worked with a mask on. And I said, oh, this guy, you know, this is, you know, thin foil sort of stuff for me, if you kind of believed in this one. We didn't hear much about the stress test, Daryl. What I've been reading about them, the bankers devised these stress tests, and even still, they're still going to come up short. And this printing of extra credit for a credit problem where we had way too much credit in the likes of Ireland, in the UK, and in Spain, and Portugal, and Latvia, in Iceland, in America, is going to come back, and invite us. Now, you had Warren Buffett there saying at his at the Omaha, and he had, you know, 20,000 shareholders down and whatever, and they're involved in derivatives as well. But what he did say was one of the blogs or one of the news articles I was reading, he said this stimulus bill or this bailout bill, because remember we have several of them, plus the guarantees for Freddie and Fannie and whatever, he said these have to be paid. And he said the US dollar, this is from Warren Buffett, Darren, not from the Ogster or from a nobody like me in world finance. The guy said these have to be paid. The dollar is going to go down and interest rates are going to go up. He didn't say jump, he said are going have to normally go up.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, the messenger Buffett was implicated in the book by the Franklin cover-up as being one of the participants in that, but that would make perfect sense to me. But let's go back into his sagesse, if you will, in finance. What he's trying to talk about here, and you talked about that stress test. What it is what they did is they took the balance sheets of 19 banks, and they took a look at their bond. Bond and loan and counterparty and derivative exposures, how much of that those exposures were due to be repatriated to that bank or actually paid off. Some of them were, you know, how much bond participation they were in. If they had insurance, was their insurance coverage valid if the instrument went bad? And then how much of their capital were they going to be able to put out on the streets to spark some business activity? And the simple fact of the matter is that only 6 banks out of 19 apparently came anywhere near passing. And I don't think that's true. I think none of them did. And you are exactly right. There's absolutely no way for the bills to be met without hyperinflating the economy or, if you will, monetizing the dollar, or again, if quantitative easing, all these different words, they all mean the same thing. It means that we're going to cut the value of the dollar in half and print up 100% of the money and then circulate it. And then when that's not enough, they're going to do it again. And then at the same time, you brought up an interesting point here. At the same time, this is when wages are dropping. So what we're going to see is a hyperinflation environment while wages are going down. What a squeeze is going to go on the middle class. It's going to eliminate the middle class in America. And people that are in the poorer classes, they are toast. Goodness only knows where the heck they're going to march them to. The FEMA camps probably won't hold all the people they got ready to go into poverty. But none of the things that they said are going to happen. It's just smoke and mirrors. They are blowing smoke up my skirt, your skirt, and the world's skirt. And I say nonsense. I say bollocks. I say it's not happening. And the truth is, Noel, you know what? We got a September coming, and I believe that the final drop will come between now and next autumn. The whole thing's going to fall apart. Now, remember we talked about the cliff face last time we were on together?
Yeah.
I said we went over the cliff in February. We did. There's no way America can be saved in its present form. It will never be recovered. The only thing you can hope for now is to eke out some sort of survival plan and help us to fight them. Those are the only two options left. Because if you don't do those two things, number one, we're going to lose to this criminal gang, and number two, you're going to starve. So your options are limited here. Either you help us fight them and start making plans for your future, or you're going to starve and you're going to become a victim. That's it.
Well, Darrell, you know, I come from a simple run a small business, and it's a question of economics. Now, I was reading there a raw story. China has cancelled U.S. credit card lawmakers. Now, I'd like to put that into perspective. So the Chinese are not going to start buying treasuries and all of this. And then you say, you know, okay, well, that's a big story. Well, it isn't really. Because Midget Geithner, Zionist over there at the Treasury, and Bernanke, helicopter Bernanke, came up with quantitative easing, where basically they print money out of nowhere and buy their own debt, Darrell. So they're buying their own, they're trying to bring down interest rates with money that doesn't exist, that they've invented, that the American people are liable for. Now, it's funny, Darrell, to see the situation in Ireland. Everyone is going down in Ireland. Everything is cut back. Absolutely everything is cut back. And the nation are preparing for, you know, living, you know, above their means, are now going, know they're going to face tougher times, Darren. Now, no one wants to go down 10-20% in a year and then, you know, another 20%. And they're prepared to, you know, tighten the belt a little bit, and they're going to have to. But in America, they have this crazy system. And, you know, I'm not an economist, but you are... They are inventing money out of nowhere to fix a problem where there was too much money already, too much free credit, too many zeros on computer. It has to tip over. I mean, even if you don't believe in, you don't understand about Zionism, or you don't understand about, you know, 9/11, or, you know, whatever it is, chemtrails, you know, whatever you want to talk about. Simple economics in any small unit, like a family where you have, you know, we used to have the male working and the wife and the would be home and to look after the kids, you know, their education and their welfare, their well-being, and that's changed, you know, with the introduction of Talmud vision. We kind of got away, you know, that's not cool, and, you know, women have to do their own thing, and which is, you know, which some women do, some women don't. And, you know, we got away from certain basics, but at the basic root would be a family, you know, whether good families and bad families, dysfunctional families, Darrell. But the simple economics is that, you know, whoever works brings in a certain amount of money, and you can buy a certain amount for that, and you can get a small loan or a loan, and you can pay back a certain amount over, you know, a certain amount of time, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever, in the credit union or, you know, one of the small banks. And all of a sudden, these people are saying, well, you know, we get in, you know, $2,000 a month, but we're spending $17,000 every month. You know, and I'm getting 12 new credit cards in the post every day, which I've seen for myself in New York. You get a lot of free credit cards. The whole system, Darrell, is going to come down. Listen, they can keep it going, Darrell, for a little bit longer, but not too much, in my opinion. I don't want to give a date or anything. I'm not a special, but the system has broken, and they're putting plasters on it at the moment.